Welcome to the house of God. Welcome to the presence of the Lord. Thank you for coming and being faithful to this service tonight, to all the services. Thank you so much for being faithful people. Let us make sure that we live with an intent to be blessable. Would you say that word again? Blessable. I don't want to teach on that tonight, but through this week, through this year, I want to drop that in and let us live in a manner where we're conscious, asking ourselves, are we living in a manner that we are blessable? Blessable. Directing your attention to tonight's scriptures, we will locate Matthew chapter 26, and then we will also locate John chapter 13. And tonight we will do our best to have communion and foot washing. If the Spirit of the Lord moves in and we're unable to get to foot washing, we'll have that on another service very soon. But we never want to quench the move of the Lord. However, what we are doing tonight is extremely important, and it is very necessary that we make room for it. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Directing your attention to the book of John, chapter 13, we have a quite lengthy reading here. We'll read from verse 4 to verse 11. He riseth up from supper. Now this particular section of Scripture connects with what I just read to you. We are dealing with the same situation at about the same particular time. He riseth up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was sent down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Please remain standing. Place your Bibles beside you this evening. And let us go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in the house of God and in your presence. Lord, I pray a very special anointing over this service tonight and over your messenger. I pray, Lord, that you would move into this place over every heart, every life, and every person. I pray in the name of Jesus that every stronghold, every yoke, and every spirit of darkness would be broken and cast out and destroyed from this place. I release your spirit of truth to prevail in this place tonight. Lord, anoint us to perform your work and your duty in the call of righteousness and love. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would move in to this remainder portion of this service and that we could perform this, Lord, in the spirit of love and of unity, in the peace, and while we are remembering you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you clap unto the Lord one more time? Would you bless his holy name? Amen, amen. We are gathered here tonight for a very solemn occasion. I pray that we can feel the presence of the Lord continually upon our life. I pray that we can continue this service in a way that we are communing with God in the spirit realm. For this service indeed is much more than just a ritual or a tradition. But this must be a reoccurrence, a renewing, a reassembling of the Spirit of God and what God has called us into. We have it scheduled to do both communion and foot washing. However, if the Spirit of the Lord was to move in, I will move the service of foot washing to another service. We do not want to quench the move of God. We must go beyond ritualism, and we must be in the Spirit of the Lord as we take communion and as we are washing each other's feet. It must be more than just a ceremony in the flesh, but it must be a symbolism as we remember the components of the supernatural and replace them back in our walk with God. It must be a rebooting of the convictions, a rebooting, if you will, of the desire and passion to be in true service of unity and oneness with the Most High God. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of blessing? I will deal with communion here in first of all, and then foot washing secondly. But then. I will speak briefly, is my plans on foot washing. I feel like last year I probably leaned mostly on foot washing, and this year I will lean more on communion. But we must understand that the Lord's Supper is described in four passages. In Matthew chapter 26 and verses 26 through 29, Mark 14 verses 22 through 25, Luke chapter 22 verses 15 through 20, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. And here in this particular portion of Scripture, the significance of the Lord's Supper relates to the past, the present, and to the future. The past significance, if you will, it is a remembrance of what the Lord has come to do. It is a reassembling of all of the works of Christ. And so the saints of God must come together in a oneness of mind and heart, a oneness of goal, and they must assemble themselves together in a state of remembrance. And the Greek word there is anamnesis. Anamnesis. And so that particular word is a state of reassembling in to remember, to not only remember in brain, but to remember in components. To take the components and remember them, put them back in their place. The enemy through the year comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And the ebb and tide of darkness will come in continually, and when it comes in, if we're not careful, it will reach and grab some granules that is so very important to us. And it will wash away. The ebb and tide will even deteriorate concrete over a period of time. And so no matter how solid and sure we are in our walk with God, if we never reassure what we have in a constant state of renewing, then the ebb and tide of darkness and of the world will begin to erode our footing. And so in this very hour, we have assembled to come together in a state of oneness of mind and heart to reassemble, to remember whatever might have gotten washed away and what have got destroyed or eroded in 2015. We have come tonight to renew ourselves, to refresh ourselves, and to reinstall anything that the enemy has stolen or destroyed. Oh, can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now? In 1 Corinthians 11 and 24, and when he had given thanks, he break it. This is the Apostle Paul teaching what I'm teaching tonight. And when he break it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The reassembling of Jesus Christ. Everybody say reassembling. It's the reassembling. The first thing this verse points out is thankfulness. When he had given thanks, that is the first thing he did. He took the Lord's Supper, Jesus Christ, held it up and prayed over it. He was thankful. This must be done in a state of mind of gratitude. Everybody say gratitude. It must be done in a state of mind of thankfulness and of honor. It cannot be done in just a state of ritualism. There are denominations all over our country that just bring this to a state of ritualism, and they totally forget about the supernatural side and the reverence side. This should be done in great reverence. This should be done in a state of thankfulness and gratitude. It shouldn't be an annually ceremony for us Pentecostals. It must be a time that we approach carefully. It must be a time that we approach respectfully. And it must be a time that we are all about reassembling the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and all that He is back into our spirit. Now, so first thing this verse points out is thankfulness. Now, the body of Jesus, He goes on, He break it. Everybody say He break it. Now, this bread symbolizes the body of Jesus. And so it had to be broken, the body of Jesus had to be broken so that all of us would have a shot at redemption. The body of Jesus Christ was broken so that every man, every woman, every boy and girl could have salvation available to them. And so this bread represents the body of Christ, and when it was broken, then it includes the scene of Calvary. So the bread, everybody say the bread, represents Jesus. Now when you break it, go ahead and just kind of do that with it. When you do that with it, now we've included Calvary. Now, when we give thanks, we're in a state of honor, we're in a state of gratitude, and now we are taking of the body, it's broken, and we are including Calvary. Now, he said, take, eat, this is my body. And so this points out that this symbolism must be repeated while we are remaining here on earth. It's something that we must continually do in a state of reverence. As often as we do it, we must do it remembering, reassembling the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and all that He is. After the same manner also, He took the cup. Everybody say the cup. He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. In my blood, this do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance, here again, remembrance of me. Now, when it come to the cup, we find here that it is the cup is the New Testament. But we also find that the cup, the New Testament, is connected to the blood of Jesus. So the New Testament is not a bloodless testament. The New Testament is, just like the Old Testament, is a bloody testament. Without the blood, we can do nothing. We've got to have the blood of Jesus in our life. I said, we've got to have the blood of Jesus. Young people, you are the church of the generation that's coming. You're not sitting on a shelf collecting dust. I believe our young people need to be highly involved right now. You need to be teaching Bible studies right now. You need to be living holy, godly. You need to be singing songs. You need to be ministering in various areas. You need to be all you can be. But one day, you're going to be in my position, some of you, and you're going to have some disciplines, and you're going to have some training and some teaching. And so, but I pray that you would understand what it is we're doing here tonight. The New Testament, the church that we are a part of, the New Testament church, that's who we are. It's not a bloodless church. It is a church of the blood. And you need to go ahead and realize that and learn how to teach the blood in your Bible studies and with your friends. Learn how to teach the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll never be born again without the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll never overcome sin and darkness without the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll never be pure. You'll never be clean. You'll never be washed pure and holy without the blood of Jesus Christ. We've got to have the blood of the Lamb upon our life. Would somebody bless the name of the Lord? Now, when it comes to that cup, he did not skip it. He did not overlook it. But he connected the blood. He connected the cup, the blood, and the New Testament all together. It meant the same thing. We must drink the wheel of the New Testament. That's what he's saying. That in this cup is a testament. The testament is a wheel. And the blood represented the will of God. And so the applying the blood is the will of God. You're not going to get the will of God done without having the blood of Jesus Christ present. So in that cup represented, it was grape juice in the cup. I can show you in Scripture. I read one verse showing you that it was, letting you know that it was grape juice. But that grape juice represented the blood. And that blood represented the will. Everybody say the will. The wheel is testament. The word testament means wheel. Everybody say that. The word testament means wheel. And so our word wheel means testament. And so if you come up on a Greek person and they have a desire for you, it's my testament, okay, that you do this, that, and the other. But you would say, it is my wheel that you do this, that, and the other. So when you come up on this particular statement, it is the will of God. And so when he held that cup up, that cup represented his will. And the representation he chose to go in the cup, he didn't hold up an empty cup saying, I've got a wheel, but it looks kind of hollow. No, he said, I've got a wheel and it's full of my blood. So the testament, the New Testament, is full of the blood of the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ. The life is in the blood. Just like if you drain the body of and you take the blood out of the body, you end up with a dead person. If you take the blood out of the will of God, you end up with a dead religion and a dead tradition. It's kind of lethargic in here tonight. But I want you to understand, apostolics, that we can never try this without the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We got to have the body of the Lamb, and we got to have it broken in our life, crucified in our bodies. And we've got to have that blood. I said, that's how we live. Even though we are crucified and we are broken, we still have the blood of the Lamb in our life. And that is power. That is a prevailing anointing that destroys every yoke of this world. I'm crucified, yet though I live. Now, we must understand that when he broke that bread, and then it was in conjunction with that cup, these must go together. And he said, as often as you do this, you remember me. Drink it in remembrance of me. All right. We don't do it as a tradition because mom and daddy does it. We don't do it as a tradition because pastor does it. We do it in a state of remembering the Most High God in us. We remember His testament. What is His testament? His will. Yes, Brother Clifton, you're right. It is the blood. But we must understand that the blood is the will. The blood is the testament. So when we hold up that cup, we got the life of this whole thing. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to consume the life. The devil comes in month after month, day after day, week after week, and he's trying to knock the life out of you. He's trying to tear you down. He's trying to disrupt your faith. He's trying to destroy you on every angle he possibly can. But then finally, you say, you know what? I've got to just pause. And saints of God are going to come together. And we're going to reassemble everything that hell has tried to knock out of us. Everything that hell's tried to take away from us. Everything that he has robbed. Everything that he has stolen. Everything that he has ruined. I'm going to get it, and I'm going to put it back in the name of Jesus. I'm going to reinstall it. I'm going to renew it. I'm going to revive it. Oh, could somebody bless the name of the Lord tonight? As often, verse 26, as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. This is a renewing of crucifixion. It is a state of crucifying our flesh. It is a reconfession of the cross. Crucified with who? With Christ. Now, when we just bring this to a symbolic, ritualistic routine, they drink. I've watched them. I've been in those services where they do this very often. I don't take communion with those people, not because I'm better than they are, but they are missing the point. And I don't yoke with that environment. I yoke with a group of people that are taught and trained of what this is. And tonight, we are reassembling to our mind, to our heart, and to our soul that we live a crucified life. There is no way to take communion properly and leave out Calvary. It is a reassembling of the desire to be identified with Christ. Those people that just take it on a ritual basis, they don't know these things. They have not been trained or taught these things. So they are a contradiction of what communion is. They are a contradiction. And this is dangerous for them. A pastor is not a good pastor if he does not teach what this is about. It is very important to me. I've spent 18 minutes, 52 seconds so far allowing you to know what this is. It is a reassembling, a re-putting together, more than a ritual. It is identifying with Calvary. It's a bloody scene. It was a horrible scene. It wasn't a beautiful scene. But the mechanics, if you will, the supernatural pieces and components that Calvary represent, tonight, as we take of that bread, as we take of that communion, we are reassembling Calvary and all that it accomplished for each and every one of us. And we drink it and we eat it again. And we consume it with the state of mind that says, I am willing, I am willing, I am willing to be identified with Christ, not only with the cradle, but with His cross. Could you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? We don't do this one time, but we do it until He comes. Ye do show the Lord's death till He come. We must live a unified life in the crucified manner until the Lord returns. Now, it is time to remember the death of Christ on Calvary for the redemption of sin of God's people. Through the Lord's Supper, we are once again confronted with the saving works of Christ at the place called Calvary. The death of Christ must be our ultimate motivation against falling into sin and for the abstaining from all appearance of evil. The Lord's Supper must be a time of the remembering who paid the price for our sins and being thankful for it in salvation. Jesus gave us all. He gave it all. And this is a call. As we reassemble ourselves in this this communion tonight and foot washing, it is a statement of saying, I desire to drink the cup and give all of my heart to Your service, Lord. There are people trying to drift away from all of this, church. And I feel like an oddball so many times. And the devil wants me to try to give up this and quit that. Don't you ever think I don't get fought by the enemy. There are people doing all kinds of things out there. And unfortunately, you get to see these people that are giving up this and compromising that. And I wish you would never see it. But you see them and on social media and all kinds of things. And unfortunately, it has to pass in front of our eyes so that we can make a decision and so that we can be people who have a conviction and a holy conscience and we can consciously choose what is right. But tonight, as I do my best to teach this lesson on a Sunday night, I want you to realize that I'm not just trying to be old-fashioned. I'm not trying to be a stick in the mud. I'm not trying to be different than everybody else. But what I am trying to do is make sure that I pastor this church using every verse and every word of the Word of God. I want you to be on the Word. I want you to be standing in that book. When the Lord calls you up yonder, I want you to be on every verse, every word, every line, every chapter, every book.
And the closer we get to the judgment, and the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more people are going to stray. The Bible says that anything that can be shaken will be shaken. And you people run around saying, well, they're doing it. You are setting yourself up for hell. Quit watching what somebody else is doing. Even if they're in the house of God, if they are messing up, if they are manipulating, if they're doing things that are not godly, don't get with them. I don't call them out. I just try to preach a message in a way that if you're serving God, you will be able to see them. Don't join the tares. God's called you to be wheat. Call the tare out. Mark the one that sows discord. Don't follow them. Don't use them as an example. They're an example of what God does not want. But don't view yourself as better than they are. Then we will be in the same situation. It is the mercies of God that we're able to live the Scriptures to the level that we're able to do it. When somebody's falling and somebody's messing up and they become a tare, let that get on your list. Pray for them. Intercede. Speak in tongues. Call on God for their soul. Is this okay tonight? Hurry in here. The future significance, the present significance, first of all, related to the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper must be a fellowship with Him, not a ritual, but a time when Christians renew their vows to speak to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in a totalness. That's what communion is. It's a total statement. It's a full statement. It's saying it all in a nutshell that I'm still here, Jesus, and I still want to be identified by the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. I still want to serve you in the fullness of the Scripture. It's a statement of the present that says I shall not be moved. I'm still a one God, Jesus name, tongue talking, apostolic, and I have no intentions of changing it. The future significance, the Lord's Supper must be a symbol and a foretaste of the future kingdom of God and the future messianic banquet when all are born again believers will be present with the Lord. It causes us to consider again the imminent return of Jesus Christ. In a moment, in an hour that we know not, in a twinkling of an eye, Jesus is coming back. And the real banquet, I said the real banquet. It won't be a reenactment of the Passover that Jesus had with His disciples. It won't be a reenactment of the Last Supper. It won't be a reenactment of that. But all the Last Supper and all of our communion and foot washing services must equate to that true, genuine, ultimate, the summit, premier moment when we sit around that table and we have the supper, the Lord's Supper, in heaven with one another. So as a future statement, we are saying, I want to be in that number. I count on being in that number. I don't plan on anything cheating me out of that number. I desire to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In this place tonight, I just felt a switch in the spirit. Here we go. I'm going to take a little route, different route. In this place tonight, is there anybody under the sound of my voice that has your eyes still has your eyes? Leave your hand up if you will. Now you can put it back down. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice tonight that still believes that the highest goal and the highest calling upon a person's life is to step through the gates of pearl and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, it is my desire, my goal, and my obligation to preach to a one God, Jesus name, tongue-talking people, and to remind you that there is no greater service. There is nothing else we can do that is any more wonderful and that is any greater than living holy and godly, undefiled, pure, and worthy. Oh, somebody here tonight, hear what I've got to say. It's time for us to come out of darkness and to come into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. It's time for us to drink this communion and take in every letter, every line, every word, every spirit, every symbolism, every bit of it, and say, "It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. It's not what I have to do, it's what I get to do." Ah, somebody hear what I'm saying tonight. It's time for us to be stirred and moved and motivated, because it's what Christians do. It's not time to try to be like the world on Monday and like Jesus on Sunday. But it's time to be a saint of God. And it's time to live in a state of mind that this is a crucified life. Kick the spiritual recliner out. It's a crucified life. When you have to make sacrifices for the Lord, just go ahead somewhere and get in an altar and say, "Lord, my flesh is kicking up a fuss, but I've got to crucify this old thing that's raising up." Some people want to get rid of communion because they say every day is a spiritual communion. Yes. Jesus Christ, you can't get no more holier than Him. He was God manifested in the flesh. But He still thought it was necessary to take communion. And He thought it was necessary for a church. He knew that His church would be spirit-filled. He knew them disciples would be full of the Holy Ghost. He knew what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. He knew it was going to unfold, but then He told them, He said, "As often as you do." Then He said, "Until I come." So the Spirit-filled, apostolic church, even though we have communion every day with God in our soul, is supposed to pause and come to this state where we symbolically put it all back together, even though we have the Holy Ghost. We are in the book. We are scripturally sound in what we're doing today. There is a great big movement coming through trying to tell everybody you don't have to be water baptized. I may as well get on this right now. Don't get on that wagon with them. What we are doing tonight is directly, I don't have time to teach this, but it is directly connected to water baptism without any kind of hiccup. This, what we're doing tonight, represents the cup, the testament, which is the will of God, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. Water baptism represents being immersed in the blood of Jesus Christ that will wash your sins away. When Jesus came to John the Baptist, John said, "I have need of thee to be baptized of thee." And Jesus stood up at him and lightly rebuked him and said, when John was backing up, saying, no, I need to be baptized of you instead of you me baptizing you. And Jesus looked at him and said, "It becometh." Everybody say, "Becometh." Something that is becoming is pleasant to look upon. when we, he says, it becometh us to fulfill all. Everybody say all. All righteousness. Right there, he reached and grabbed baptism and plugged it straight into righteousness. And water baptism in his name is righteousness. And it becometh us. It makes us pleasant to look upon by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Righteousness and holiness is synonymous. It works straight hand in hand. And so without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Don't let anybody cheat you out of water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. If you discredit communion and foot washing, you are discrediting the beauty, the comeliness, the beauty of righteousness in baptism. You cannot break them up and mess with them. They run together. It's one gospel. It ain't a bunch of them. One Lord, one faith. Not a bunch of different faiths. Do what you want to do. We all end up. See these bumper stickers on the back of these cars? They got all these emblems, Christian emblem, the Jewish emblem, and all these other nonsense emblems. You're not, they want you to coexist. That they don't understand what they're trying to say. But yet they'll realize when they go to their science labs and everywhere in their places of businesses and all their professionals, and they realize certain chemicals will never coexist. That same principle is with light and darkness. These people trying to teach our young people to get it all to coexist, it won't be like that. If you are ever an apostolic, if you are ever a one God, Jesus name, tongue talking apostolic, you have no fellowship with darkness. But yet, they don't condemn the light bulb. They go in their own home and flip the light switch and cast out all the darkness in their room. They don't condemn the light bulb. They don't run it down. They're a bunch of hypocrites. If they wanted to all jail, they need to have darkness and light in the same room. We're of the light. We can't help it when we walk in a room and it starts casting out spirits of darkness. It's just what we do. Hurrying tonight, I want you to understand that when he got up from that table and he began, after they took communion and they began to after they had reassembled all the components of the will of God, after they reassembled all the components and put the four gospels in their life, they reassembled every word, every line, every book, every chapter, every verse in their hearts. They reassembled it in communion. That's what we're doing tonight. They got up. Jesus tied that towel around him, or his garment around him, and he began to go to each person and he began to wash their feet. He began to perform servanthood. We cannot do this correctly in communion. We are not really taking communion if we're not in a servant state of mind. The communion is supposed to produce a servant's atmosphere. After they done the communion, Jesus, being God, manifested in the flesh, got down on his knee, and he had no problem after all of that. He had no problem handling his disciples' feet. Are you with me? Communion is supposed to reduce us to a state of mind that is holy and pull us out of that high and lofty place called pride. Now let me say it right. I said it that way so everybody could understand it. Now let me say it right. Humility, a servanthood state of mind, is supposed to pull us out of the corruption and the depths of the pit of pride and lift us into a state of priesthood. C- Communion, when Christ fulfilled it, he showed his disciples, now, when you have reassembled me, this is how you're going to act. When you have reassembled the four Gospels, when you have reassembled, when you have reassembled all of this, this is how you're going to be able to tend to one another. You won't have no problem getting on your knees and washing your brother's feet. And you won't have no problem drying their feet. You won't have no problem with humility. When you reassemble all of this, hurrying now, when Peter was confronted with this state of humility and this position of humility, he was battling with pride. And he said, Lord, you're not going to do this. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus simply said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. When we do this communion, see, Peter had no problem with the communion part because he had just reduced it to some kind of religious something. But when he got down to where the rubber meets the road and what communion's really for, he said, no, I'm too prideful for this. I don't act like this. That's right, flesh doesn't. But a servant, the Spirit of the Lord, will minister to the body. And when we truly in the spirit of communion, we won't have no problem submitting in humility and handling one another's feet and washing in love, in a spirit of well-being, in a spirit of passion and unity. It's a unifying thing as we wash each other's feet. It must be taken with great spiritual gravity. It must be taken deep into our soul. It must be moving. It must be stirring. We need to do it with tears. We need to be able, as we wash each other's feet, the person that's getting their feet washed needs to reach out their hands, lay their hands on that person's shoulders or head. And as that other person's washing their feet, you need to pray blessings. Let your heart break and let your tears flow. Speak in other tongues over them. Call out for the mercies of God upon them. Unify. Let a passion, let God's passion come through you. And you let that go up on that person. And his spirit will begin to move and prevail in that situation. And it will not be done in a state of carnality. It will not be done in a state of human flesh. But all of a sudden, God will bring a reenactment of that very hour and that very moment of the Last Supper and him washing his disciples' feet, and you'll be in the same fellowship. Oh, I wish people could understand that's what our goal needs to be. We need to be in that same moment, in that same spirit, in that same atmosphere. When we get to heaven and Peter says, I wish you'd have been there, we could say, no, Peter, yeah, I wish I was. But you know what? Over the years, we reenacted this and we was in that same fellowship and we was in that same spirit, and we was in that same moment, we was in that same anointing, we was in that same power. Tonight I pray that we could allow communion and foot washing to come together. Now after we take that communion and we have swallowed the four Gospels, the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have swallowed the fullness of His will and His testament, then symbolically our actions say, I didn't just do that, but now I'm going to let the fruit of what I just consumed be exhibited. And then we take our towel And the men will go to the ladies' prayer room. And the ladies will stay in this sanctuary. And after swallowing that communion, we're going to get down and we are going to reveal the fruit of communion. And that's servanthood. I have taught this to you as thorough and as good as I can in the few minutes that I have. But communion and foot washing is not something we need to just put away. I've had to reteach this to some people that ought to know. But it's just not being supported. But I don't want you to stand at the judgment seat. I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to be a pastor standing there watching you come up and watching the look on your face because I did not teach you a principle in the Word of God. Because I have taken that commitment and that stand, I'm going to often sound like a stick in the mud. And I'm going to often look like an old-timey preacher that's preaching nonsense. But you won't stand at the judgment seat and be able to tell Jesus that Brother Causey didn't teach it. So when we consume this communion, it is supposed to produce the fruit of humility. Everybody say that with me. Communion is supposed to produce the fruit of humility, servanthood. Communion is supposed to produce the fruit of servanthood. Communion is supposed to produce the fruit of servanthood. As our ministers are assembling here in the manner in which I've requested them to do so, I want us to be mindful tonight of what we are about to do once again. As we swallow and we partake of this communion, it is a realignment. It is a realignment of the love of Jesus Christ. It is a realignment of the sacrifice and the price that He had paid. It is a realignment of the concept of holiness and purity. It is a realignment tonight. It is a realignment. We must be realigned tonight. Right now, as they are preparing, I want every person under the sound of my voice to give me your undivided attention. We must be in a state of mind of realignment. We must be in a state of mind of renewing. We must be in a state of mind of reassembling everything that Jesus Christ stands for. And we are about to take that into our body. But let us not do it in a way that it's a ritual or a way that we're just doing it to be seen. But this is a statement. We are about to make a statement to hell, to heaven, and to the earth, and that we are reassembling ourselves with the call of Jesus Christ. We are identifying with Calvary. The Apostle Paul taught it in Corinthians that if we do this in an irreverent state, that we drink damnation unto our own bodies. We must not do this in a state of irreverence. We must do this in a state of reverence. We must do this with a consciousness that says, in 1 Corinthians 11 and 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So we must examine ourselves this evening. As our ministers stand here, they are going to be examining themselves. But I wish everybody right now, we would just take a moment and say, Lord, here's my heart, here's my soul, here's my mind and my life. And Lord, I don't want to be playing games. I don't want to just be a phony Christian. I don't want to look like a Christian on the outside and full of dead men's bones and all corruption on the inside. This communion means that I'm agreeing with every word of the Bible, every word of the will of God. I'm agreeing with everything that Jesus Christ. That means I've got to love my brother and my sister. That means I've got to be in unison. I've got to be unified. I can't be a divider. I've got to be somebody that puts the church together instead of breaking it apart. I've got to be a person that is in one mind and in accord with God's Spirit. I've got to be in the same mind and desire and mode of the Holy Ghost. Can we look upon our hearts right now? Can we repent of any sin right now? Can we be remorseful right now? Can we let our hearts break right now? Can we say, God, here I am. I surrender to you. God, I have my faults. I've had failures. I've made mistakes, God. Lord, but I don't want this cup to be damnable unto me. But God, I want to drink it in all sincerity. Oh God, I want to drink it in sincerity. With it making a statement that through your power, I'm going to fulfill every word of God. Through your Spirit, through your help, your grace, and your mercy, I'm going to fulfill every word and every line of your testament, of your will. As our ushers are standing here, I'd like for the two outside sections to stand. And I'm going to ask, you see, you're going to see two people, two guys here, two ministers. And one's holding the drink, one's holding the bread. And maybe in time we'll have more and this will be able to go faster. But I'd like for this group to move out to your right. This group to move out to your right. And just form a single line and make a wide swoop here and come by Brother Box first. And then Brother Clifton. And then just go right back to where you came from. I'd like for this group to move out to your left. And swing all the way around by Brother Roberts and then by Brother Lee and return to your seat. Y'all may go ahead and start at this time. But do not partake of the food, do not partake of the bread or the drink until we do it together. We want to wait until we can do this together. What a sweet presence of the Lord. Thank you for keeping this solemn. Thank you for reverencing the presence of the Lord that's in this place. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Mighty God. Hallelujah. We'll go ahead and start the middle section. We still have quite a bit to serve on this side. And we'll go ahead and start the middle section. So if this middle section would step out to your right. And just stand at the front pew. And when Brother Box and Brother Clifton reassembles, just walk up to Brother Box first and then Brother Clifton. And this,
just return back down this aisle right over here. And so, Brother Jackson, you can start. Let the Spirit of the Lord move. You can speak in tongues right now. Let the tears of your heart begin to flow. Let be broken. Be broken. A broken and a contrite heart God will not deny. Be an intercessor right now. Intercede. Get in the spirit of what this is supposed to be about. The Spirit of the Lord. Get into that Spirit of the Lord. It's a very solemn moment, a very solemn time. Hallelujah. Do not be quick to forget what we are doing here. Hallelujah. Do not be quick to return to your old ways. Let us be a loving people, a gentle people. Let us be very meek and humbled. If Brother Box and Brother Clifton are full, just feel free to skip over to Brother Lee and Brother Roberts. And this way we'll serve twice as fast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As you are holding the bread and the cup, as you hold those in front of you, I don't want to start any kind of traditions or a doctrine, but I generally just hold the bread in the left hand, the juice in the right hand. But there again, I wouldn't want anybody to preach that as some kind of doctrine. But the right hand is the hand of power and authority, and we will take the juice last. And that is the sealing of the covenant. And so I always like to put the sealing, that final authority, that final part in the right hand, completely identifying with all the symbolism of Scripture. But don't preach that as some kind of doctrine or anything. But if you hold those two like that, you're going to be closer. More than likely, that's how Jesus held it. Studying symbolism. Now, when we look at Matthew 26 and 26, as they were eating, suddenly Jesus took the bread. Would you hold that bread up high like this? Jesus took the bread and blessed it. Now let's bless this. Let's pray in a blessing format. Heavenly Father, as we hold this bread that represents your body, as we hold this bread up now, as we assemble ourselves in one mind and one accord as unity, holding the body of Jesus Christ upward and high. Lord, I pray now that blessings, Lord, upon our walk with God, upon our relationship with each other and with you. I pray a blessing upon this bread. Oh, Lord, that as we break it and as we allow it to go into our body, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit, your prevailing anointing, that all that your body is supposed to be and represents, I pray now in Jesus' name that that would be in our lives. It would take action. It would take root. It would come alive in us. Lord, in Jesus' name, as we bless it in your holy name and as we consume it together, we do all this in the fear of the Lord and in a desire to be obedient to you. Let us take the bread together and break it. As we have partaken symbolically of the Lord's body, Jesus, in the verse 27, took the cup and he gave thanks again. Is anybody thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Is anybody thankful for the will of God? Are you thankful that you know the will of God? How could we serve Him? How could we be obedient? Now, that remember now, we're about to drink this. And we are saying, Lord, realign me. Realign me with truth. Realign me with Your Spirit. Lord, we give thanks for Your covenant and we give thanks for Your blood. We give thanks for Your Spirit and we give thanks for that power that's going to realign us tonight. I want to be realigned. I've gotten out of line, Jesus. I want to be realigned with Your love, with Your purpose, with Your mission, with Your covenant. We give thanks for this blood, for this cup tonight. It's a cup of crucifixion. It's a cup of tears. It's a cup of brokenness, heartache, and pain. But it's a cup of joy. It's a cup of healing. It's a cup of mercy and grace and truth. It's a cup of triumph. It's a cup of miracles. It's a cup of victory. It's a cup that promises heaven. Now, as we have blessed, let us take this cup and drink it together. All of it. Could we lift our hands? Could we lift our voice? Could we call on the name of Jesus? Could we cry out to Him right now? Could we say, Jesus? Oh, Jesus. Would You let Your tears flow? Would You let Your heart break? Oh, Jesus. God, we want this to be more than a tradition, more than a religion, more than a pretty story. But we want it to be real. We want it to be real. We want to be Christians. We want to be pleasing in the eyes of the Father. Oh, we want to be pleasing to You, Jesus. Oh, God, let it take root. Give us power to live holy, power to live undefiled. Power, Lord, power to be pure Christians. Pure-hearted, Lord, pure-hearted. Pure-hearted and to be servant-minded. Oh, God, I pray that it would kick in right now as we gather these towels together in just a moment, that we would not just be choking down pride, but the power of God and the power of humility would come on us and we could wash these feet, Lord, with true love for our brothers and sisters, with true appreciation, in a true spirit of servanthood. And I pray that we would have it all year long. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Mighty God, mighty God. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't put this in the message tonight, but I need to go ahead and put it here. A lot of people will condemn communion because it's a symbol of His death. And we're Holy Ghost filled and we're full of His life. And they get into a bunch of silly things. Communion is a symbol of His death. Aligning ourselves with all of His crucifixion and everything. But foot washing is a symbol of servanthood. And that aligns us with the Holy Ghost falling upon a repented and a person who has repented and buried in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. They have died out to the will of the world and of the flesh. And now they've been in a watery grave in the blood of Jesus Christ. And they are a washed dead man. And they are prepared for the fulfilling, for the falling of the Holy Ghost upon them. And they become alive. And when they become alive again, they're not alive unto the world, but they're alive unto Jesus Christ. And they're alive by His Spirit, which is a spirit of servanthood and humility. And so when we consume His death, and we take of the cross, and we die, re-yielding ourselves to the message and to the will of God, we take up our towel, representing that we are full of the Spirit of Christ and we are alive again unto service into the kingdom of God. So we're not out of the book. We're in the book. Death, burial, resurrection. And if you're too proud to do it in symbolism, then you're not real when you do it out there. Let's be real. Thank you for taking communion. Thank you for being here to do foot washing. Thank you for being Christians. One more time, could we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Let's worship God as they begin to fill up buckets right now and as they begin to prepare everything. Let us go ahead and just lift our hands and take a moment and let us just give the Lord praise right now. In this place, would we go ahead and just pray? Assembled in just a moment. But while they're assembling, can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise and love? And thank the Lord for what we have been a part of and what we have enjoyed in this place tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Worship the Lord.
Lord is in this
Well, Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much that we have enjoyed this heavenly charged atmosphere, supernaturally charged. Thank you for coming from heaven to earth, touching our bodies, allowing us to be a part of such a great and wonderful gospel. Lord, now that we have partaken of your body, of your blood, of your testament, now let us be spirit-filled people, that we can be motivated and moved with humility in service to one another. Lord, I pray now in Jesus' name that we would be covered in the blood, covered and sealed in the Spirit of God. As we leave this place, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't forget what communion is, that we wouldn't forget what we have done here tonight, but that we would love one another, that we would be unified with one another, that we would view each other as something precious and valuable. We would have respect for each other. Lord, I pray that we would be servants in the kingdom. Let us be spirit-led, spirit-filled, and full of compassion to do the job that you've called us to do. Watch over us and keep us. And bring us back, Lord, Thursday night at the appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Shake hands and be friendly.
I need to meet with all Connect singers and musicians at this time.